Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Side rebound, Andre Wesson, who battled Riley, had inferior position and won the ball. Lob ahead, Young, alley-oop jam! Unleashed from just beyond midcourt, and Young thrusts it home, 63-53. The Buckeyes up 10.
Well, that's Ohio State, not Oregon State. My bad. See, now I got to apologize to Wayne Tinkle. Wayne Tinkle, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, buddy. I was wondering where that was going.
I was like, alley-oop, hold on a second here. That was Ohio State beating UCLA. Hey, congratulations, 3-0. How's that feel?
Oh, it feels great. You know, guys are off to a good start. I really have bought into, the plan, and we've got some momentum going here early in league.
You guys play hard. And, you know, I've only watched about six games, but your guys play hard, especially on the defensive end of the court, and I have to think that matters in a league where everybody is kind of everybody's close. Anybody could win on a given night.
No, for sure. And you know, when our best teams, that's our number one trait. And we know that some other teams may have the higher ranked recruits for whatever that's worth. And playing hard and together is a big part of what goes into the success for us here at Oregon State.
Defensive philosophy, in the UCLA game, I noticed that you're contesting everything, and you have to feel good about that. You had very few defensive breakdowns. You probably see them as glaring, but philosophically, what are you guys trying to do on defense in general?
The big thing is we've got to have pressure on the ball, and then whether we're man or zone, everybody else is kind of packed into helping on the ball. We've got to keep the ball squared. Where we get in trouble is if we allow guys to straight line penetrate. Now you have to overhelp. They're kicking to shooters for open shots or dumping it off to the rim. So pressure the heck out of the ball, everybody else getting help, and then you hit it on the head. We've got to contest every shot. And when we struggled a little bit in the non-league, John, is because we weren't getting to shooters. We were just kind of like, oh, well, let's make them beat us from the outside. And we're like, we've got one of the nation's best shot blockers. Let's err on the side of aggression out there, knowing that they've got a tough guy to score over. And since our guys made that switch, we're defending a lot better and scoring because we're getting some baskets off of transition because of that deep.
UCLA ran a little high pick and roll last night, and so guy off the ball came over to help. They kicked the ball down to the corner and shot a three where your post guy had to run out at him. Is that something you can live with, or was that a defensive breakdown?
No, we saw that in film today. It was against a zone. I think it was the corner in front of their bench.
Yep.
We didn't rotate one guard over to the other side of the floor. So Trace, it was an outside ball screen, Trace had to step up and help, which left the corner exposed. Now, in an emergency, we call that fire. The center's supposed to come out. But if our guard would have got there, he could have taken the guy off the ball screen, and Trace could have stayed at home in the corner, and Kyler could have stayed in the post. So that was definitely a mistake, and something that we've got to correct.
I look at things like that and I go, okay, that, you know, but your guys make that mistake going full speed. Like, you know, it wasn't a lack of hustle. And as a coach, you go, okay, we can fix that.
For sure. You know, there's errors of commission and errors of omission. And, you know, if we're playing our tails off, we know that some of those are going to happen. But over the course of 40 minutes, if you sustain that effort and focus, you're going to win that balance, and our guys are doing that here of late.
Wayne Tinkle, Oregon State men's basketball coach. They're 3-0 in conference play. Beat the L.A. schools over the weekend. Did you like playing a late Sunday night game?
No. No, just, you know, the worst thing for, you know, your guys and the coach is to sit around and wait all day and, you know, think about the game. You know, as a coach, you wonder if you put the right plan in. Do you switch anything last minute? You know, and then for our fan base, we draw such a great number of folks from your area up there in Portland that, you know, Sunday at 7, Thursday at 8, it's really tough. And it's disappointing. We had great crowds, but we know we can even do better, and our guys deserve it. So we can't always control that, obviously, with television, but the fans that are coming have been great. We love them, and we're hoping as we continue to move forward here, that those numbers grow even more.
All right. You had your daughters courtside. You had your son, obviously, in the game. The girls got a lot of airtime on FS1 last night. I said Oregon State's marketing department's got to jump on this. How much fun is that for you as a dad to see the girls supporting in that way?
Oh, it's great. You know, it's just they've been that way with each other, you know, since they were born. Just the love and support they show is incredible. But they are legitimate Oregon State Beaver fans. I mean, one was at Gonzaga, one at Stanford. But they're Beavers through and through now because of their dad, obviously, and their brother now. I've threatened a few times to move them off of the court. And they say, Dad, you actually should put us on the payroll because we help get your guys to their coverages in zone half the game. So as long as they're not pestering the refs or bothering everybody around them, I love the enthusiasm.
I think Trace has had, obviously, a really good start to this season. Is he getting the credit he deserves, or you like him flying under the radar?
You know, to us, it doesn't matter. As long as our team's making strides and getting better and having success, you know, he could care less. You know, coming out of the state of Montana, he felt like, you know, that was, you know, a little bit of underrated. But he's more focused on team goals than I ever would have imagined. He's seen the, you know, kind of the struggles we've been through. And, you know, the stamp that he wants to leave on his time here is, you know, helping to build success. And so that other stuff will all take care of itself.
All right, you win this game against UCLA kind of going away. You win it by double digits. It got comfortable maybe at the end. I didn't think you guys played all that well. Is that a good thing for you as a coach when you go, hey, we didn't play our best game, we still won?
No, certainly. Yeah, and to open it up like we did. And we did not shoot the ball very well. But because we defended and because we got out in transition, you know, we took some of that pressure off the half-court offense, and it didn't look so bad. But you know, if we just shoot the ball halfway decent, you know, we're putting at least 10 or 12 more points on the board. So it does, you know, put some confidence moving forward that, and this is what you always say, and we weren't doing early on, if you defend night in and night out, we know there's going to be nights it doesn't go in the hoop. You're still going to give yourselves a chance to win because of the defense. And our guys are starting to hang their hat on that. And my really successful teams at Montana had that sort of mentality, and it's nice to see that we've got that here now at Oregon State.
UCLA had talked about wanting to push tempo, and I thought you guys did a really good job last night in limiting easy transition baskets for them. How do you accomplish that as a coach, strategy-wise?
Well, we worked on it in practice. You know, we have our guys run a play, shoot it, and then we've got our five managers just flying the ball up the court, and we've got to make sure we sprint back, stop the ball, protect the hoop, and then get to shooters and build out. So we worked on that the day before the game, and you saw the start of the second half. I mean, we held them to 26 at halftime, and I think they had 11 points in the first 3 minutes of the second half.
Yeah,
because we took a couple quick shots, a couple turnovers. Once we got that figured out, our guys did. It was the best, I thought, that we've showed in conversion defense, and it's going to be another key in Tempe this weekend as Arizona State loves to fly it up the court too.
Yeah, you go to Arizona State on Thursday, 7 o'clock tip our time, and Arizona on Saturday, 4 p.m. What do you see at Arizona State as you scout them?
Well, they're as aggressive as UCLA in attacking the paint and trying to get to the rim. You know, this Lou Dort, freshman phenom, he's built like Herschel Walker, you know, at 6'4", 6'5". Zylan Cheatham, they've got shot blockers. Remy Martin's probably the quickest guard, you know, in the league. And they just pose a problem in transition, attacking the rim, and then in the half court, you got to keep them in front and try to make them. They're capable shooters, but you got to force them to take perimeter jumpers that are contested. And then they got some athletes on the back line. You've got to rebound. And that's what I think our biggest strength has been this year. Last night, we were out-rebounded by two. It was only the second time this year we've been out-rebounded, and our guys have done a nice job there and are going to have to continue that as we go on the road now.
Wayne Tinkle, Oregon State men's basketball coach with us. I think you and I talked about a week ago about how wide open the conference is. I think the conference tournament's going to be a lot of fun because I think seeding's going to be important, and you guys are certainly doing a good job now, but I also think there's probably going to be about five or six teams that go in there thinking they have a shot to win it.
No, for sure. And you're going to see throughout the conference play here, teams any given weekend, you know, you can leapfrog two or three spots in either direction. And we just got to stay focused to getting better from day to day and take them as they come. It's cliche, but it's true. And know that, you know, if we slip up along the way, you know, we can get right in a hurry no matter who we're playing. And then get that momentum and really peak in March. And then you get to the tournament. You know, Don McLean from the Pac-12 Network has said this, and you've said it, that, you know, people want to say it's down. I just think it's really competitive. The talent's going to be cyclical. And it just so happens now that we've got, you know, some really balanced teams in our league, and it's going to make for a very exciting tournament with I guess, what could be upsets, but probably really not considered upsets when you look at it. So it's going to be an exciting run, especially from a fan's perspective.
I have this vision in my head that, like, you leave, you go home from the game, and does Trace go home from the game from you? Does he get a ride home, or does he take off on his own?
Oh, no, he's doing his own deal. He lives right across the street from Reser Stadium. And,
yeah.
You know, there's times when we'll have family in town and we'll go get a meal, you know, so we can visit a little bit. But then he's off and doing his thing. But the nice thing is usually on Sundays we have a family dinner at the house, and that's when we can kind of just catch up on everything else but basketball. So it's great to have him close. But, you know, the one thing is that I don't really think about as much as I should is the bubble that he's got to live in here on campus because, you know, being the coach's kid. And we got to remind him, hey, enjoy these 4 or 5 years. Have fun because it's meant to be fun. But just make sure you understand that you're under the microscope a little bit more than everybody else. And he's done a really good job of handling himself that way.
It's true. And I think if he weren't such a good player, you'd probably have to worry about it more. But the fact that he has been playing and playing at a high level, and you look at his numbers – leading the conference in scoring and where his rebounding is, and you go, okay, this guy's delivering.
Yeah, he's done a nice job of, you know, I think he had such a good freshman year. I think people don't appreciate the improvements that he's made. And the big one everyone asked this year, I think, is in his leadership. Obviously, he's gotten bigger and stronger and all that, but he's very vocal this year, and it's a credit to his teammates for the way they handle it. In the past, you know, we maybe had some immaturity where guys didn't handle criticism well, whether it be positive or negative. And he's got a group of guys now that are stepping in line and listening, learning from him, and it's spreading. Stephen Thompson Jr. has done a great job of being way more vocal this year than years past. Ethan's picked that up. Big G has been huge along those lines. And then credit to the new guys for accepting it. You know, we've got guys, you know, that have hung around and bought in. Some might deter them and want to go another direction, but the guys that are here with us now are really bought into that and taking on the leadership, listening and learning, and we're moving forward in a positive direction because everybody's got each other's backs.
Wayne Tinkle with us, Oregon State men's basketball coach. Before I cut you loose, it struck me today that your son is third born, and his name is Trace.
No coincidence.
Did you call the other ones Uno and Dos or no?
No, but if we were going to have another, it was going to be Cuatro. He, we lived in Spain for so many years. When I played there, he was the third child. He was born on June 3rd, you know, and he was made in Spain. So that's kind of how we came up with the spelling and the name itself.
I think the marketing campaign is Jocelyn and Ellie being Uno and Dos. And
there you go.
You mic them up. And you do a whole marketing campaign at Oregon State based on, like, getting people to the game. It's a family thing, right?
Hey, that's what we talk to all of our recruits. It's a family program, and they're right there in the middle of it showing that's the way that we do our deal. And I don't know that we could mic them up unless there was about a 10-second delay.
I think I saw there was, like, a belly bump or a chest bump or something that happened mid-game, and I was like, this is – what made it great is it's authentic. Like, you really get the feeling that they love the program, and they're rooting like hell for everybody on that team.
Well, I tell you, anybody that knows our family knows, number one, we've got each other's back through thick and thin, but – number two, the love that we share is great, but we are competitive in everything we do. I mean, if we've got three different cars at a restaurant, it's a race to get home first. Everything we do, we had a 2-on-2 game, my wife and I against Trace and Jocelyn. We won 7-2, and they would not let us leave the gym until we had a rematch. And I pulled a knee injury and limped out of there 1-0. But we are very, very competitive, and so they're out there trying to help us and will us to win. And it's great to have them in our corner for sure.
All right. I have three daughters, and you're right. It's like if one of them's in the car with me going home and the other one's in the car with my wife, the one with me is like, we got to win. We got to beat them home. We got
to
get there. Will that benefit them? Will that benefit them when they are sports age? Because they're 4-2 right now.
It certainly will. You got to be competitive. You know, this give everybody a ribbon and a participation trophy. I don't know about that. So as long as it's channeled the right way, being competitive, I think, is a big advantage.
All right. Congratulations on 3-0. Keep it going.
Thanks. Always good to be with you. Take care.
All right. Wayne Tinkle, there he is. They've got Arizona State in Arizona this week. Oregon's on the other side of that road matchup, going to Tucson first and then Arizona State for the Ducks. I really am rooting for Oregon State and Oregon to be in the Pac-12 tournament, seated as like 1-2 or 2-3 or 3-4, just not in the same side of the bracket. I don't want them playing until it's the championship game. That's what we're after here. And I'm glad that he said that about competition. I want to talk about the sisterhood and the brotherhood of competition next. Somebody on Twitter wants to know where I go or where I went to have my knees fixed. Listen, I had three knee surgeries. Two ruptured patellar tendons, a microfracture surgery. I always tell people go to reflexknees.com. Dr. Riggs and the team at Reflex do a phenomenal job. Absolute game changer for me. PRP therapy, that's platelet-rich plasma therapy, stem cell treatment, both phenomenal. Reflex has a wonderful clinic right here in the Portland metropolitan area. If you go to reflexknees.com, you will see what I'm talking about. They're the knee pain experts. You can call them at 503-719-6783. That's 719-6783. Or go to reflexknees.com, and they will give you an evaluation. You can tell them you heard about it on this radio show, and they'll take care of you. They take care of me, and I'm going to tell you, I have no pain whatsoever. My wife asked me yesterday, how are your knees? I said, man, they feel great. Like, not kidding you. I feel phenomenal. I'm more active because of it. You all know what I'm talking about if you have knee pain. A little bit of a controversy with the Super Bowl. I wanted to talk about competition, but I think I have to talk about the Super Bowl all of a sudden. And it involves music. Do we have anybody here who knows anything about music? I guess I'm the resident music expert. Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Alabama Adriana, how was your weekend?
It was good.
Good.
I went to Fogo de Chao.
How was that?
It was not really what I expected. Hmm. It was a little, there was a lot of hype, and I guess it just didn't really live up to the hype to me.
Didn't meet the expectations.
No.
Speaking of hype, I want to know how this suits you. There was a rumor, the Super Bowl's in Atlanta. Everybody know that?
Yes.
Does Atlanta have a rich music history?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So people are upset at the halftime performer. Do you know who it's going to be?
No.
I'm at a payphone trying to call home all of my change I spent on you.
Maroon 5 is the halftime show. People are mad. Given the NFL's position on Colin Kaepernick, social injustice, all that, kneeling, people were hoping they would pick somebody with roots and ties to Atlanta. Maroon 5 says, too bad. Travis Scott will also be part of the halftime show, but he required the NFL to make a $500,000 donation to a charity that promotes social justice. I like that move. What do you think? Maroon 5 or no?
I mean, I like Maroon 5. I've liked Maroon 5 since they were all of the hype now. I kind of agree that it would be cool to have someone with Atlanta ties to do the halftime show.
Jay-Z, Cardi B.
T.I., Usher. There's a lot of people.
Yeah, it should have been Atlanta ties.
Instead, it's Adam Levine. Make sure you grab a podcast of this show. SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get a podcast. We're back tomorrow with a great show.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.